Can you see me or hear me or what's going on?
Can hear you perfectly. Cannot see you at all. Oh, now I see you.
Look at the tile, darling. Look at the beautiful tile. You can't get tile like that here, especially on the East Coast. Look at that. I was expecting you in a caftan and some kind of headgear. I'm kind of disappointed.
Seriously.
I can throw it on. My outfit I bought here.
Russ coming in live from Morocco.
Look at that tile. Look at that tile.
This is weird. This is weird that it says shaky right there.
I know. It is weird.
Oh, boy. This is going to be great.
Oh, my.
I'm not in Casablanca.
For those, if this part stays in, which it probably won't, but Russ is in Morocco right now, and his girlfriend is putting, what is that called, Russ, on your head?
It's just a scarf turban.
Like a scarf turban on his head?
Listen to all the jewelry cranking around there. You guys hit the market pretty hard, huh?
Wait, is it making too much noise?
No, you're fine. You're overthinking.
No, you're right.
Oh.
It sounds like crickets. Did you smoke a hookah yet? You smoke any hash?
We did a shisha. I'm not going to actually wear this. It's just for the boys.
Why? Look at that. That looks amazing. Dude.
Yeah, that looks... No, don't leave it. I mean, do what
Dude,
you want.
You look like Anthony Quinn in Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, you do.
Doesn't he? Do we know how much time we have, Luke? I know I keep bothering you about that. It's just I just want to prepare because if we have
there's the man
hey,
right
hey,
now.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, there
What's
he
up,
is.
Adam?
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Wow, that looks very Moroccan behind you.
You think so?
Look at that tile, Adam. Look at the tile. Isn't that beautiful?
It's Moroccan in the free world.
Hey! We're already going.
This is our Neil Young podcast, where we mostly talk out of our ass while going through the works of Mr. Young. It's Mike Hsu and the Condon Boys, Trans and Harvest and Lenoise. We're gonna sit and listen to each one.
I got my Dolly mug. You see that?
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
Fuck yeah.
Very nice.
Adam, nice to meet you, by the way. Or as they say here, Micharsi.
Oh, my.
Oh.
Yeah.
How is that?
Pretty
that
good, huh? Micharfin.
Micharfin.
Yeah, Charfin. Micharfin.
My aunt?
Exactly.
Oh.
Hello?
We hear your voice.
Hi.
Hi, Daryl.
How do I get in there? What do I
hey,
do?
Hey, Daryl. Hey, Daryl.
Yes.
There it is. How are you?
You unmute and then you start video.
Where does it say that?
Are you on the phone or on the laptop?
I'm on a laptop.
Okay, so at the bottom of the screen, if you move your cursor down, some options should pop up, and there should be a little video camera with maybe a red line through it.
Yes, got it.
Click on that. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not camera ready.
Hey!
There you are.
Neither are we, Daryl.
Well, I don't have any light on me. Oh, well. Say what I Hi.
Hey,
howdy. Long time no
Hello.
See.
What are your... Oh, my goodness. Hello there. Very exotic.
Yeah, I'm literally in Morocco as we speak.
I'm sorry, guys. I have to take a quick call and mute for a sec.
Sure.
Okay. Oh, my God. That's amazing. How great.
What I know. It's my first time. What was that?
You're just exploring?
Yeah. It's a long story. I was originally supposed to go to Thailand and then like COVID and it was a whole airline thing. And so,
You're not on an airplane with a pandemic.
No. Yeah, exactly. So we had to like, the airline made us, they were like, oh, you can go somewhere else type of thing. So we chose Morocco.
That's amazing.
Have you been?
When I was, I think I went with my mom and my sisters when I was about 15.
It's amazing.
It really is.
It's amazing. I'm going to take this off because it's
Oh, come on, Russ.
Did you ever see that movie, oh my God, about the guy, the American guy who got arrested,
Midnight Express?
We were telling him, Midnight Express. We were talking to him about that.
Like a 4-star, like 5-star hotel. I don't know how many stars, but it's like a fancy hotel now, a prison. Weird.
That's so cool. I love that Adam's just on the phone right now, too.
Oh, he's a big deal.
Adam is a big deal.
Yes. He is actually. He's quite a big deal.
He is. We love him.
Well, thank you for inviting me on Long May You Young. I love your name of your podcast.
Thank you for joining us. I mean, this is great having you on here. And we did an episode about Paradox, but this is great so we can clear up some questions or speculations we may have.
Plenty. I have no doubt.
Also, the credit goes to, that's my brother, Luke. He's the one that came up with the Long May You Young title.
Oh, very clever, Luke.
Yeah. Thank you. For those who haven't figured it out yet, we are talking to Daryl Hannah, the writer and director of Paradox. And I mean, and, among and many other kind things.
You appear in the film as well.
I'm also a partial cinematographer, even though CK is really the main man, but I shot a lot of it on my phone and on a Super 8.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's so wild.
Yeah, I think that's excellent. Great
it looks so cool. Yeah.
It's a whole movie.
Oh, that's wild.
So do you want to start or do you want to wait for Adam to...
He's back.
Oh, he is? Okay, good.
All sorry, right. You know, my oldest's mom called with an update about some things and, you know, and had to take that call. So, but
no,
all good.
No problem.
There's a new kitten in the mix. It's all happy news. So
good.
Good. Right, what did I miss?
Not much. You know. Little introductions. We
didn't fully introduce. I'm Russ, by the way.
Hi, yeah. Russ.
Nice and I'm to Mike. Meet you.
Nice to meet you. Adam, good to see you again. And talk
likewise.
Again.
What's your
name? Thank you so much for joining us.
That's and, Mike, Daryl. Mike.
Okay. Mike. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Russ is in Morocco.
Yeah, Russ is in Morocco. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yes. And I'm in exotic Worcester, Massachusetts. Worcester.
You earlier, Daryl, I was like, he's Moroccan in the free world.
Oh boy. You are a dad, man. That is a dad joke.
Yeah. Dad joke. I keep them coming.
So is Paradox going to be on the Neil Young archives?
That's right. This weekend. Yeah.
And it will stay on Netflix as well, right?
It will. Like that. It's kind of a weird situation with Netflix, but at least we got permission to show it on NYA whenever we thankfully it's going to be on NYA because you can't find it on Netflix, you know. It's impossible.
I remember when it came out, I remember seeing it like on the when they like advertise things, and I remember seeing it, and I had watched it then. Yeah, I remember it did pop. Maybe it's the algorithm though. Maybe it's the algorithm and they knew that I like Neil, so they were like, hey, check this out. But
they've been profiled.
yeah, exactly.
Your life in the algorithm.
But either way, if you're going to watch it, you should absolutely watch it on the archive.
Oh, yeah.
Which it will be there this weekend. You can, if most of our fans are already subscribers. If you're not, you're a Neil fan, you're insane to not be a subscriber to the archives. So,
or a Daryl fan.
It will look better there because they do some weird high def thing on all those apps these days that just makes everything looks like a 1980s video.
Yeah, I had to Google and find out how to change my TV settings so that.
Yeah, we can't stand high def.
Yeah, I can't either.
Like shit. I'm sorry.
It does. Oh yeah, we fucking swear all the time.
Yeah, no, believe me. Yeah, it's fine.
So I rewatched Paradox again today, and I did take a little edible before I watched it, and it very much enhanced it. I loved it the first time we watched it, and I liked it even more this time. I will say it holds up to its name because. At the same time, it both feels like there's like layers to it. There's metaphors. There's like things to unpack. But at the same time, it doesn't take itself seriously at all. So it is a paradox of a film, and I really, 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 really love it. Daryl and Adam, you guys did a great job.
Another few, yay! Appreciate it. No, it was a weird thing because you know it wasn't really a real movie. Like we had a situation where the guys, Neil and Promise of the Real, were going to do a show at Coachella. We called it Oldchella, with, you know, the Rolling Stones and the Who, and I don't know, Paul McCartney, and, you know, some other giant bands. And they needed to learn Neil's new songs, because he had just written a whole new album, and they, you know, never practiced or played the songs before. So he wanted to play one or two shows before Oldchella, and also teach the guys some songs. So we tried to figure out where that could be done, and they, you know, looked at Ventura and some other places, but they didn't want to be in California because the show was in California. So they tried to figure it out. Then they booked a show in Telluride, and then I think, was there one more show in CK in like what was right below?
I think they played two nights in Telluride.
Yeah, but what was that other little place, that little tiny theater that they played? Anyway, it was a really cool little theater. I think maybe I'm thinking of something else, but anyway, they...
No, I know. I remember we parted ways, though, and I only came for the second week of Desert Trip.
Right. That's right. Desert Trip, that's what it was called, not Oldchella. Sorry about that, guys.
that's what it says on the T-shirt.
That's what we printed on our T-shirts, and then we got banned. but anyway, yeah, we made some really funny T-shirts, and then they're like, you can't do that. but anyway, so they decided to do their sort of warm-up shows in Telluride, but that's at almost 9,000 feet altitude, 8,000 something altitude, and so you can't really roll up there and just play a full show the way these guys play, with energy levels and stuff, you know, jumping around, and they, you know, play until they feel like they're finished playing. So so you have to kind of give yourself 3 days to adjust to an altitude like that before you're kind of normal. And so I knew that they would be sitting around for 3 days hanging out, and couldn't move around much. And so we're like, let's make a movie.
Yeah.
3 days, you know, maybe we'll capture them jamming around a campfire, which was my biggest goal, you know,
because
they're gonna be in Colorado. They're going to be at our house. Our house, is just really land. It's not really a house, and it's got, you know, an outhouse and an old stagecoach stop on it. So I'm like, we've already got a set, yeah, you know, and those guys, if they end up sitting around the campfire playing, jamming, we're going to be really upset with ourselves if we don't capture that on film.
Yeah.
And I talked to everybody about it, and nobody was really into the idea of making a documentary, you know, being mic'd up and being followed around. And
so was that the scene with Lucas singing?
Well, ultimately that's what the whole impetus of the movie was. That kind of actually did come about. It actually did happen, but that was what we wanted to capture, and we fortunately captured
it's
that.
It's so beautiful. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, that was the thing that was sort of the seed of in the first place. But the movie was made, you know, like completely backwards of any kind of real movie, where, you know, usually you have a script and then you get a production and you pass it. But this was like, we've got 3 days. We know these guys have been sitting around. We know that we've got a set, so it looks kind of like an old Western, but then they're going to be playing electric guitars, and then there's electric chords, and then they end up in Oldchella or Colchella, whatever you call it, Desert Trip. And, you know, so how are we going to fit all this together? And then there's also 30 guys, you know, the crew and the band, of course, is all guys. And then the crew is all guys. And so how are you going to, you're going to hide everybody? Are you going to incorporate them? How do we make it? And so you had to make it, reverse engineer some kind of a story to fit all of those aspects in. Plus, we only had a couple of days, and we didn't have any actors. And we had no sound, comes my brother didn't show up one of the days, and then we had a guy helped us for 2 days with sound, and we only had guys who would like, they would say a couple of lines and then that's it. Neil does one take and he's done. He's like, okay, I'm finished. Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye. And so, you know, it was not like a regular movie shoot in any way, shape or form. And then I of course wanted to shoot most of it on Super 8, but thankfully CK brought his, what was that little camera you were using, CK?
My Panasonic Super 35 documentary camera. It's called a Sony Z150U.
Yeah, so we were the, you know, we were the crew, me and CK. You see us right here. We're the entire crew of the movie. We had
that guy for 2 days.
And then everybody, you know, dressed themselves in clothes that we either got at the thrift store or had around the house. And all the props are like, you know, the guns are squirt guns and toy guns.
Elliot's costume was the most authentic, and he brought it. It belonged to him.
Wow.
Gun belt too.
Oh, was that you mean his ass, right? Is that what you're referring to?
No, that was Elliot's belt.
Oh, that wasn't Elliot. Was he not? Is he in that scene?
Yeah, he's in the, Elliot's sitting by the campfire, and what does he say? CK keeps saying over and over again.
He's
with the horses. And those are my horses.
He says it twice.
About the moon. Doesn't Elliot say?
Isn't he? I thought he was the one that said something about your food. You need to know where your food comes from.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was very affected by the altitude, so he had to have a few more takes.
Wow.
But anyway, so it was kind of an upside down and backwards movie making process in terms of that, because we knew that the guys couldn't really be moving around. We couldn't have anybody, you know, everyone had to kind of be sitting around most of the time because the whole idea was they're getting adjusted to the altitude.
Yes,
and then
right.
At 3 o'clock every day, they had to go over and rehearse. And we put up a tent in the meadow because we couldn't have them rehearse in town or everyone would hear their show before they played the show. So we put up a tent in the yard and so that's where they rehearsed, and they could only rehearse for a couple hours because it got dark and cold. So they rehearsed for like 2 hours and we did that for 3 days, and that was the whole movie. And then we shot in Ocala. Sorry, I keep calling it that. Oops, had it.
That's desert. Okay. Everyone calls it Ocala. Yeah.
We shot in Desert Trip, and then I went and took Neil. We have a little train ride we go on sometimes for Christmas to cut down our Christmas tree on that old steam train.
Yep.
Because they take it about halfway up the tracks and then let you cut down whatever trees are growing into the tracks, and you can take it home for your Christmas tree. So I put a rug on him and... and made him, you know, put a bandana on his face. I'm like, get on the train.
Wait, hold on. Neil likes trains?
I want to go back.
Shots on my cell phone, you know.
Wow.
I want to go back to the actual film format. You're using your phone. You're using different cameras. Was that something that was, from what you're saying, I mean, this all just kind of came to you, it was like just winging it the whole time, but was that something that was planned, like the shifts, and were you trying to, was that like part of the story to
initially,
the different formats?
We wanted to shoot it on Super 8, but it just wasn't feasible. I mean, we couldn't get any sound, we couldn't get any we didn't, you know, they don't really make the film anymore with the audio tracks attached to it, and we had a wind up Russian wind-up Super 8 camera. Wow. And, you know, the footage came back and it was like we missed a couple of things. So we just decided we would mix all of the elements together because it takes place in the future, but it's a future that looks a lot like the past because there's no more electricity anymore. Everything is kind of going back to survival.
I kind of love that. I kind of love the the, like, you can't figure out exactly where in time you are. And I like that about it.
That's the idea. So
yeah, there's also, sorry to interrupt. There's this really beautiful shot. I wonder if that was on Super 8. It's one of my favorite shots in the film. It's when after the Neil Willie standoff, and it's when Neil's like walking away from the seed bank, I think. And there's this like gorgeous shot. Was that Super 8? Do you know what I'm referring to? CK?
Sure. Where was that? What? I'm not sure what shop that is. Do you know what that is?
It's like,
oh, I know.
There's snow, back. I believe.
Oh, there's snow. That's yeah. Awesome, probably. If there's snow, yeah. It's on. Oh, no, not necessarily. You came and we got stuck mm-hmm. in the snow. I remember that. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, if it's the follow shot down the alleyway, I'm thinking of that was.
I think that's it.
Super 35.
It's gorgeous. It's like my favorite, one of my favorite shots in the film.
Down the alleyway of the old sound.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
There are so many beautiful shots. Like if someone would like walk in on it, they'd think I'd be watching a nature show. Because yeah. There's so many. So
yeah.
I know. Again, it wasn't planned, but. Was the scenery and those beautiful landscape shots, were they, it almost seemed like they were like the land and the earth itself was like a character.
Yeah.
Like you were using those as a character.
You guys see Barn yet?
Not yet.
No.
Oh my gosh, you have to watch that movie. CK and I just shot another movie called Barn. It's on YouTube now. But
we have a strict schedule, Daryl, where we have to watch in order of... We're heading into Mountaintop next.
Working your way through the 70s.
Actually, we're into 2019.
We're into the
catching up.
Yeah.
Neil's working at a furious pace, so I'm sure he's facing you guys. He's about to drop 30 more or something.
Yeah. It'd keep us busy for a while. We thought we were done with this thing.
Well, when you get a chance to see Barn, it'll be kind of fun because it's in the same location as Paradox.
Oh wow! Is that also where they recorded and you guys filmed Colorado and Mountaintop?
No, that was nearby, but not there. Yeah.
Okay.
Nearby, you know, it was kind of the whole thing was kind of improvised, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it was
well. That's what makes it very Neil.
That's why Netflix was a kind of a strange fit because everyone expects it to be a real movie. And we're like, no, not a real movie. Like this is
right.
Like,
the way Neil approaches an album, just kind of like we're going in, just start rolling.
See what happens
in the moment. And there's a lot of great moments you've strung together.
Yeah,
in there.
Nature, like you said, the nature is just there. I mean, that is what is really there. I mean, there are times that CK and I would be we have a little Tom car, like a little biodiesel, little vehicle that we use to get back and forth from the tent to the stagecoach stop. And we were driving out to this, I think we were driving to the tent and we saw a herd of elk and we're like, yeah, we just abandoned the Tom car.
Yeah, those are such great shots.
It was,
and that big elk, that was a real encounter. Well, like we were scared for our lives.
I was actually, that was some of the questions I had was about
the elk herd, and then the big, you know, leader of the herd, the big buck, came back to look for us, and we were like, oh. And we were not skinny enough to hide behind those trees. We were like, CK, don't breathe, don't move. That was terrifying, wasn't it, CK? Because he was looking for us. Luckily, we were
on the right side of the wind.
Yeah, because we were about 10 feet, 15 feet away from him. He was just stalking us, like, just pacing back and forth, looking for us. Like,
those guys will fuck you up, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Adam, I wanted to ask you, I know you had worked on Lanois obviously and on a bunch of other stuff, but this, how did this differ when you were approached and entered into this project from stuff that you had done in the past?
Well, I had one prior narrative experience, on a film that I made with Elliot's son, Matt, called The Frontier. And that was more of like the studio approach, grip an electric department, a line producer, schedules and call sheets. And really, it was kind of an arduous process. It took us a month to shoot like 60-page script or something, which was pretty good in movie standards, from what I understand. But this was completely Well, like Daryl said, we were the crew. So we'd have a meeting about, okay, which pages are we going to try and shoot tomorrow? And I remember, I have the notes somewhere about my first phone call with Daryl about this. It's like, I wrote this short script and it's really caricatures of these guys and we can do it all here. And you know, I was like, yeah, I'm game. This is totally up my alley. I went out and got acclimatized and, you know, wandered around, got to know the property and just shot everything like I always do. And then, you know, Daryl had a megaphone for part of it, but ultimately was just doing a lot of yelling to try and put cats around like a 10,000 acre property or whatever it is.
30 guys.
Right.
We love to stand around and tell stories.
Yeah.
But you know, what happened was magical.
Yeah.
And serendipitous, the way everything fit together from the beginning to the end. Like I had been out on the road documenting Neil with the Reel, all that summer in Europe. And then Daryl joined us at a certain point, cause I think she was shooting Sense8 or finishing Sense8 at the time. And, it was like Tales from the Tour Bus live. You know, I was just on the bus every night after the show with the guys and shooting the shows. And then I don't think we were home a couple of weeks and it was like, hey, come back to Colorado. We want to shoot a movie. And I was like, okay. And then, you know, right around Christmas time, we shot that snowy stuff in like a day. And then we got together for another day at Willie's.
And then we had a hell period where CK and I just holed up in the living room and edited ourselves. We didn't have an editor. Neither of us are editors. That was horrible. That was painful.
This might be the most impressive thing that has ever hit Netflix.
I think so.
It's a serious home movie. It really is. But I like to me, like I, the things I like the most are the fact that, you know, all these tough outlaws have guns and not one gun is ever shot, you know. Yep. And that the sort of the most precious thing in the bank is seed, you know. And that like, but everyone, like even all the women have just kind of given up on the men altogether and they're just like, okay, you guys pillage and plunder, we're not going to deal with you until
you're on your own. Yeah.
Is that why the women have just said, I've had it, and just left?
Women have had it. They live nice. They garden. They take care of the kids. They raise the babies. They do. They live a great, you know, artistic, creative life. And the men can do all they want. And they'll come and bring them food and soap and toothpaste and whatever they need to survive.
And keyboard parts.
Yeah, exactly. And meet them on breeding days and maybe a couple other entertainment times. And otherwise, they got to keep them at gunpoint.
Well, it's good to hear that kind of attitude still survives after the apocalypse. That's been millions of years, right?
I think women have just like drawn. They're just like, okay, let's not bother anymore.
It makes sense. Yeah, of course.
CK said you wrote a script for this, so this is not improvised.
13 pages. It was not like, you know.
So everything is improvised.
Yeah.
It's
a rough framework.
Because the characters, like each character, this is how I saw it. And as we talk more, I'm realizing I'm totally overthinking this movie. So it seems like each character is like, to me, after I watched it a few times, was like a different facet of human nature. Cookie McCormick, like he seems to be like the all business guy and he's got a system and you have to follow that system. And then Lucas was kind of like the man of action, you know, so he's the guy that would, when things got heavy, he was the guy to go to. And then Micah was like the part of humanity that's always kind of looking to innovate something, whether it's technology or agriculture or whatever. And so, and like Tony was kind of like the idealistic guy, you know, philosophizing on the can, you know, then Tato was like he was the outsider's view. He came from outside the group. And so he was the kind of guy with a different perspective. So that's how I kind of saw that ragtag.
Tato was kind of a philosopher.
Yeah. Okay. That's after watching it a couple of times, that's what I thought. Am I anywhere near?
It's you know, I like it. Just stay with it. I mean,
okay.
I feel like it's, I feel like it's any, which I think is what makes it good art, is that like we get asked, Luke and I are in a band together. We're songwriters, not to shamefully plug.
Go ahead, but, shamefully plug, Russ.
Yeah, we're in a band together. We're called Town Meeting. But when we get asked about, like, oh, what is this song about? And then people will kind of theorize that. And I'm like, yeah, that's, if that's how it, if that's what,
how that it is right. You.
Yeah. If that's what's right for you, then that is what it is, you know, whether or not, because sometimes I don't even know necessarily what I was, what I had when it, you know, it just happens. And then for us, someone will say, I think it's this, you know.
We were kind of like CK said, we were kind of like sort of bringing out certain aspects of each of the guys and sort of obviously making them super extreme. I mean, like Micah is very cosmic and, you know,
yeah,
multiverse and the, you know, he's very,
yeah, yeah.
So we just sort of magnified some of those qualities. And, you know, Anthony, he is like happy. He's just super positive.
Yeah. We interviewed him actually on the podcast. He's, yeah. Yeah.
So isn't
yeah.
Lovely?
He's so lovely.
Those
yeah.
guys are just, I can't, I mean, we were so fortunate. I mean, those guys are just a dream. I mean, they're so game and so fun and so playful.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It literally, you know, Micah was wearing my pants. I mean, they're like, everything's and no one, you know, no one's, everyone's just willing to play and goof around. And that's what it was. It's like us kids playing and playing dress up in the basement, you know. It's not,
yeah,
not a serious thing. It is serious at the same time. And we were trying to like make something that was beautiful and said something, but not take itself seriously and still be beautiful.
I think mission accomplished. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what, when I was saying it fits the title well, is because you are saying something, but at the same time, you can see how much fun you're having, especially Micah. Micah was having way too much fun.
It was great. Yes.
Yeah. But and the guys get like literally, what would you say, CK? They get like, you know, 30 seconds to learn a song and then they're playing it and they're wow. Beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful. Yeah. What you're seeing is not take two, you know. I mean, you see, like, Neil stops it like 30 seconds into the song and starts it again, and they're it's on, you know. I mean, what you're seeing is real. That's not anything manufactured. That's not like take 32. That's first time they ever tried these songs together.
Wow.
It's yeah. Like hearing you say that and then thinking of the fireside scene is giving me goosebumps.
Yeah.
And that was just
awesome. Oh, yeah. Angel just kind of like came out of the fire.
It's honestly, I cry every time, and it's one of those things.
It's
that
so beautiful.
It is, yeah.
It's what we like dreamed of, and it happened. And I don't know if you noticed, we animated little fire fairies.
Oh, Mike, yes. You were right.
I thought so. Yeah, Mike.
These guys thought I was just stoned, but I knew I saw something.
You are stoned, but
it's okay, like, yeah, that's true.
We made it for you.
I love it so much. Yeah.
What point in the filming did the was the fire scene, was that up front or was that near the end? Or
I was at the end, actually. We were actually back in California and Lucas was sick. He had a cold. And so we just were like, you know, we just set it up at the end of when they were right at Coachella or I keep calling it that. Sorry, Desert Trip. And so we just were like, we just set up a campfire and we're like, maybe they'll go. And then, yes, they did. And then we didn't ask them what they were going to play or anything. And CK, that was magic. I don't know how got that. He just was walking around. You see my hands at one point coming in and putting more wood in the fire, but he's walking around like it was
a gorgeous
shot, just handheld. Yeah. And nonstop, it's just, and the song, and Lucas was a little bit sick. You can kind of hear it in his voice that he had a cold, but it was just, it was so moving to hear him sing his dad's song. And it was,
oh my
so,
God.
So yeah. Beautiful.
It was so gentle. It was so gentle. And with the fire and just seeing their faces and maybe their instruments a little bit, it was just the perfect mix of things.
Smoking a beer and
sipping a joint. Yeah.
I knew someday that you would fly away. Love is the greatest healer to be found. So leave me if you need to. I will still remember. Angel flying too close to the ground.
All this kind of stuff, they were sitting there, and they don't like, okay, now let's play.
Yeah.
And they're just it's just magical.
I think I said when we did our episode on Paradox, I think I said it to me, it might be the most beautiful live music ever captured, I think, honestly.
I feel the same. I get chills from it. So it's so beautiful.
I don't know that I've ever been as moved seeing like on a screen, not live, obviously, seeing live performances is a different thing, but on screen, maybe like when I first saw The Last Waltz when I was a little boy, that might've been the only other
time. There it is, Mike. You knew he was going to bring up Levon at some point.
Yeah, he's obsessed with Levon.
Well, of course. I am. Of course I am. Of course.
No, but that's what the whole point of the movie was, so I'm glad you guys appreciated that part, because that's really, to us, I think, the heart of it.
It is. It is the heart, yeah.
I think that the tagline you had, you called it a loud poem, and I think that sums it up so nice and perfectly, because a poem is exactly kind of what we've been talking about, where it's up to interpretation, but also...
Old Black in it, so it's loud.
Yeah, and it's exactly, oh my god! Oh, that's,
anything with Old Black,
it's
gonna
be loud.
Did Neil? I know you're the director, CK. You're the cinematographer. Did Neil try to get his hands in? And because I know he likes to make film too. So yeah, did he let you go and say you do your thing? I'll totally follow what you said.
Do you remember CK? I don't think he didn't really want, he didn't have anything to do.
He sat quietly and watched us be frustrated in the living room. And every now
when
and then.
When you were editing?
Yeah. And every now and then he'd walk over to the piano and play a couple of chords, then, you know, pick up his guitar and play a couple of chords. And I know he was like processing. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then he was just like, okay, book the studio, John, and the reel came down, and then they cut a few pieces for the soundtrack and like extend a couple of extended songs and made some edits for us and stuff. And but he was a real cheerleader, you know. And I don't think it's right to say that it's not a real movie, because it's a very special movie. It's one of the most special things I've ever done, and it was every bit a healing experience for me, as I think what other people take away from it when they get to experience it. So I'm glad it's going to be on the archive, be seen and heard properly by people who maybe haven't seen it because they just didn't know or something.
I'm excited to rewatch it on this medium, like on the archives. Especially like what you said, Daryl, to not have it through the HD,
To dial your TVs down. To lo-fi. But I don't mean it in a disrespectful way. It's not a real movie. I just mean, I don't want people's expectations to be, you know, plot lines. And this is a loud poem. Like you said, it's more of it's a lovingly made, visual audio gift that does have that very specific themes that I understand what it means. I know what it means, you know, I know what it's trying to say. It is trying to say something. It's not a pointless thing, you know, but at the same time, it's light, it's lighthearted. It's not, like I said, no actors and nothing makes literal sense, but it does make sense if you don't push too hard to try to get.
Well, I mean, you know, David Lynch has his thing, and that's not that wouldn't be considered, I guess, real, you know, so.
Or it, you know, like if you look at stuff by like, you know, Cassavetes or something, that's the thing. It's you've made something that sets itself apart. And I think earlier you said none of this was, there were no second takes. All of it was real.
Yeah.
And you can't say that about a lot of media put out there now, whether it's a movie, a TV show, music, whatever it may be. And, you know, I'm sure you guys know the public can smell something fake.
Yeah.
And I think
Colin's
doing something so real. Oh, we lost you there for a second, Darren.
Is that me? Oh, no, sorry. You guys.
I don't know who.
You guys are all robots.
No, actually, Mike, we lost you, but Daryl said you don't get anything fake with Neil.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we figured that out.
which is why it's so easy, but also interesting to do a podcast about him. Because that is very true. You don't. And that's why he's my favorite artist of all times, because you never get anything fake ever, which is what I'm so drawn to.
Yeah. It's a challenge, but it's great. It's a challenge as a director.
Yeah.
So, sure.
So what do you have? You've got this one under your belt.
Oh, I literally, right before I got off this call, I just finished editing a new video. For the new record that's coming out in a couple of weeks.
Nice.
Oh, great.
I just finished shooting it yesterday and just finished editing it right before our podcast.
And then you mentioned Barn. Is that's on the archives or not?
Barn. We CK and I are so proud of that. I think I honestly just love that movie. Now that is a documentary. But it's more of a movie, in my opinion.
Okay.
It is beautiful. It's a Crazy Horse and Neil recording the album. Yeah. It's basically a straightforward documentary.
I think I saw clips of it.
Really beautiful.
Adam, did you post some stuff?
Adam did, yeah.
Yeah, I saw some clips, I think.
Yeah, probably we had like a one night only in theaters, and I was posting about that to get friends and stuff out to the theater to see it just before Christmas. It was probably when I was waving my arms about that. But yeah, it's that was a tremendous experience, and it's sort of the answer to Mountaintop, which is the next one.
It's the anti Mountaintop.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
All right.
Okay.
I love the album. I love Barn the album. So I'm very excited for the movie.
Oh yeah.
If we could,
I swear I saw a video of because I remember Nils playing the accordion. Yeah,
if we can,
I don't know where I saw it.
If we can backtrack for a second, so what video did you just finish at? Can you tell us?
I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to tell what the name of the song or the video or what the name of the song. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell the name of the song yet or anything, because the record is just about to come out, I think, before Christmas. So
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say the names of them or not. And Neil
put
the dogs for a walk, so I can't ask.
Gotcha. That's what I saw, which I loved, was, I'm pretty sure you shot it, was when Neil's playing Homegrown to the chickens.
Oh yeah, during the
I loved that.
We did a bunch of fireside sessions, and then we had a porch episode
those were so good. Those kept me alive through
a lot of the.
And I was reading on the archives. So he's taking another car, and is he going to try to make another like Link Volt?
Yeah.
Project, and are you gonna document that, like with the Link Volt car?
Won't, but
okay.
Thank you. but I know. Yes, the Black Queen. He's gonna make the Black Queen into a biofuel vehicle.
Oh, wow.
He's got a bunch of old cars that he loves, but he refuses to drive anything that runs on fossil fuels anymore, which I'm all down with, of course, and. Do the same thing. Yeah. So,
does he want to turn my 2010 Honda Odyssey into a biofuel vehicle?
You probably can. You probably could. That would have to be an ethanol car, not a biodiesel car, but it can be done. And that's pretty much what everyone's going to have to do at some point.
Because yeah.
We got to, at some point soon, because we got to.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop the madness.
That's I'm really all the for overall. It. That's yeah. really the overall message, I guess, with Paradox, right? If there's a message, it's like we got to start doing stuff, or we're going to be digging in the dirt for old computer keyboards and cell phones,
right,
and stuff.
Yeah.
Pieces of copper or wire or whatever. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. This is just, I mean, it's really stupid. People have to start yeah. listening to the science.
Which actually brings me to something I wanted to say as well, is that this technically, actually, Daryl, is the second time I've been on a Zoom call with you, although you wouldn't have been aware of it the first time, because I was there for the Bernie, the one where you and Neil were there.
Okay, right.
Do you remember that during
COVID as well? Wasn't that during COVID?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys were there talking about Bernie, and he was playing, and it was like a thing for Bernie supporters to like get a link. It wasn't like I could have interacted or anything, but I remember. I just loved that. That was great.
iPad too.
Oh, cool! Yeah. That was so cool. Well, I'm a big Bernie guy, so
we appreciate your time, and Adam. Good to see you again. And when is Paradox going to be in the archives? Do you know an exact day this week?
I think, this weekend.
Okay, so Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, we're really excited that you guys were. And Neil's going to write up something about you guys. Doing this podcast on the archives.
Oh, awesome!
Right on.
Holy shit! Thank you.
Right
tell on. Him thank you very much for that too. That's
so
great.
Cool.
Yeah, you know, we there's a reoccurring thing we do on this podcast, because we always imagine that Neil is sitting in a room by the fire, listening to Long May You Young, right? And so we'd like to imagine that while we're... And so we,
oh, yeah, there's, the go, fire.
There's the fire, right? Oh, and so we always like to think that you're in another room working on something else, and he's listening to the podcast, and every now and then we'll break into a, hey, Daryl! Hey, they're talking about the movie, Daryl, again.
Yeah. Well,
that's like a common
Daryl,
thing.
They're talking about Paradox!
I just wanted to get a hey, Daryl in.
You mostly would call me sweetheart, but thank you, though.
Okay. Oh, well, we're not going to. We got to change the whole bit.
That's just for him.
You can't change the format.
No, we can't. We can't.
Not for Neil.
But, Daryl, we do, just before we let you go, and thank you so much for joining us. This was
for your time. There's so many things I would talk to you about, but
I can't believe you're awake in Marrakesh. That's just, you must be.
Oh, come on. Of course I am. I'm out here. I gotta stay awake.
Russ, by the way, Russ and his girlfriend are trying to rescue a cat from Marrakesh.
Oh,
right now.
Great. I hope it works out. I was not supposed to bring that up. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, she gets very emotional when she thinks about the cat. We fell in love with this little street kitten.
I understand. I tried to rescue a horse from China. That didn't work out very well.
Oh, sorry.
Jeez. Yeah, it's tough, and we don't have enough time here. If we were here for longer, you know, but we don't have enough time and money to be able to make it work, because we leave like next week. So pretty soon. So it's not. Yeah, yeah, it's sad, but it is what it is.
Maybe you can.
I think you'll.
I'm there for.
Make yeah, sense. It's
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So we made friends with the person that like one of the guys that works at the place we were staying, and we became friends with him on Instagram, and he's gonna like give us updates and stuff like that, so okay. We're doing what we can.
I do want to ask you though, Daryl, if you have anything to plug, any activism stuff, or any projects you're working on.
You know, luckily I just heard today that they're shutting down the Mountain Valley Pipeline thing is not getting
good.
Oh, wow.
Go ahead. We'll see how it progresses, but at least the dirty deal stuff was shut down.
Awesome.
Good.
So, but you know, everybody's got to do what they can right now on any front to
get
out of this climate emergency, because it's not, you know, just about adaptation. It's about really being aggressive and shutting, you know, down stupid shit like, you know, fossil fuels, like deforestation, like any, you know, putting any damaging things into any of our water bodies or water sources, or, you know, I mean, the earth obviously needs our help, and it's calling out to us on every front. So anything we can do physically, get the word out verbally, whatever you can do in any way, shape or form. Everyone's got something to give. So you gotta get on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's all right. About it. I don't have any merchandise or anything.
No, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Because
I know everybody too.
Yeah. No, that's perfect because God knows the other side is trying very hard to not to push the opposite of that. So this is
yeah.
Right.
Super important, especially right now.
So. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Daryl. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you both. I love both of your art, and you've inspired, and I'm very grateful for all the art you've given to us and to the world, and it means a lot. Yeah.
Adam is the best. He's got such an exquisite eye, and he's so
good,
easy to work with, and so fun and so creative. It's just mind blowing.
We all fell in love with Adam.
You guys are making me blush.
We all fell in love with Adam after doing Lanois and then watching it.
Yeah.
Adam, how's the baby?
She's not a baby anymore. She's a year and 2 weeks old.
That's still a baby.
Little Daryl.
Little Daryl.
Little Daryl.
She's been running around yelling since 8 months. But she's been walking since 8 months, and now she's climbing and constantly busy. And,
oh, boy.
Wow. Yeah, it's on.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
You're going to be running.
We should mention, Adam, your lovely wife makes an appearance in Paradox.
Yes.
Yes, she does. Yeah, that's where we first met. And then it was a number of years until things got real. But
that's where you guys met?
That was her first gig chefing for those guys. And I could tell she was nervous. So.
Mm.
Her lasagna made me not die after my first day of shooting B-roll. And I was just very grateful when I saw her cooking, and I could tell she was nervous. So I was like, hey, you know, I tried to make her feel more at home. And she remembered that for a long time after. But yeah, I spoke to her for maybe like 15 minutes in the process of filming that. And, but yeah, she's the,
She's the best vegan chef in the world, and also gorgeous. And of course, nobody got out of being in the movie. So everyone who was on the crew
everyone
in it, and even including.
I love that you fell.
We couldn't have the bus driver. We couldn't have the bus driver be a man because he was the girls coming arrive on the bus.
Right.
We had to put him in a girl's wig and a dress, and
that's awesome.
Everybody, oh my God.
Oh, that's great.
I love that Adam is basically Garfield, and that lasagna is the way to love.
You got to have that lasagna.
Yeah, you do.
Lasagna.
Oh, that's great.
That's amazing.
Well,
also you mentioned Sense8, and I thought you were incredible in that. I love that show.
It was
beautiful.
Pretty wild show.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it feels weird to focus only on Paradox talking to Daryl Hannah. You're literally in so many incredible
Daryl Hannah.
I'm glad that you guys
thank
you so much.
Cuz I mean, obviously we could talk about Quentin and Steve
that's
Martin.
That's a whole other podcast.
Of course.
My wife will be mad though if I don't mention that she loved you in Grumpy Old Men.
So. Oh, that's my dad. That's why I did it for my dad, because he loved those guys. Well, of course I do too. Who doesn't love Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon?
Yeah,
and Margaret.
Yeah, and Margaret.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Burgess Meredith.
Yeah, and Burgess Meredith.
Oh, that's right.
Greatest. Yeah. I love him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, see all your shiny faces, happy faces.
I gotta say publicly before we sign off how, because I'm not like the most quick tongued, but I appreciate all the love that you guys shared, and I owe eternal gratitude to Neil and Daryl for everything that we've been a part of together. And thanks for, honoring our little art project that is beyond words for me to really talk about completely. But I just all kinds of love for all of you guys, and especially you
and
Neil
as well.
Daryl.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you guys. Thank
and you made a really beautiful, I mean, it's truly art. It's incredible. Both of you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, you know, yeah. don't say that because a lot of people will go, this is the worst piece of shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, let
that's
say
okay
it.
Too. So you don't want to like,
well, know. Fuck them. Who cares?
hey, at least they responded.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're yeah, yeah. You want a response. That's
what
you want.
Makes it real. Yeah. That's what makes it real. Yeah.
Paradox, once only on Netflix, now as of this weekend, available on the Neil Young Archives. If for some weird reason you're not a subscriber yet, go and subscribe.
Yes.
Special thanks to Adam C.K. Volek and to Daryl Hannah for joining the Long May You Young podcast. And I mean, this is wild for me, guys. I'm not
gonna lie. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Thank you for just joining our juvenile silliness.
We're juvenile too, so we're happy to.
Well, long may you young.
Yeah, long right. may you
exactly,
young.
Yeah.
You too, you guys.
Exactly.
All right.
Love.
Thank you very much.
You as well.
Yep. Yeah. We'll talk to you when we get to Barn in about a year, probably.
Perfect.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great evening.